Hi, this is Stephen O'Doherty. Despite our many efforts to eradicate it, the awful truth is that forms of human bondage and slavery still exist all over our world. The true extent of the problem is quite unbelievable. There are 45 million people worldwide living as modern slaves. The Walk Free Foundation was established by Australian philanthropists Andrew and Lisa Forrest. Walk Free Foundation Executive Director of Global Research, Fiona David.
We've been trying through the Global Slavery Index for a number of years to come up with a reliable estimate of modern slavery, not only globally, but also country by country. And one of the big breakthroughs for us came when we started doing face-to-face surveys with people in different countries to understand their experiences. And it's that survey data that's got us to the point where we are now, where we actually have data from 50 countries, and that's the data that we'll be working on with the International Labour Organization as we produce the global estimate on modern slavery.
And what's the data showing you?
The data at the moment, I think we always try to be fairly conservative, but even so, we estimate that there's some 45 million people in some form of modern slavery globally. I'm really talking about where people's rights have been taken away, their liberty has been taken away. And ultimately for us, it's about can they leave or can they refuse the situation they're in? And once it gets to that level of extremity, then we start to call it modern slavery.
45 million people globally. 45 million.
It's absolutely mind-blowing, isn't it? I mean, it's twice the population of Australia, nearly. And I think what's remarkable about it is, many wise and smart people quite reasonably think that we got rid of slavery 150 years ago. We certainly made it criminal, but unfortunately, like many criminal activities, people are very creative and very persistent, and they find new ways to abuse and exploit people, and that's what we've seen, unfortunately.
If that's our working definition, that they can't leave or refuse, these are people who are held against their will, either physically or economically?
Look, there's always going to be a grey area when anything comes to economic coercion. We try to look for very sort of objective indicators of force. So somebody has been, subjected to violence or subjected to threats, or their family has been threatened or harmed in some way. Once you get to that issue of, forced by economic circumstances, it does start to get, really into a grey area of what is forced and what is not forced. Even taking that sort of harder-ended definition of, the objective indicators of force, we're still looking at 45 million people in slavery.
So where is the spread? Geographically, is it possible to isolate regions, or are we talking about something that is truly global?
Modern slavery is truly global. There have been cases picked up by the authorities in everywhere from Iceland to the United States.
Iceland?
Australia. Yes, Iceland. I know it's remarkable, isn't it?
And Australia?
Finland and Australia, yes.
What sort of cases do you find in Australia?
We've actually had a number of cases identified in Australia. Some have involved people using sham marriages to bring young women into the country who are then essentially unpaid domestic workers and really even sexual servants, if you like, for want of a better word. So there was one of the first slavery prosecutions in Australia was actually in far north Queensland, where a man brought in a young woman from the Philippines who he paid her family for her to come here. She thought that she was, coming to work. She certainly did work, but she certainly wasn't paid, and she was also horrendously sexually abused while she was here. So fortunately, that was picked up by the police and prosecuted, and the couple involved went to jail in Queensland for that offence.
Well, if that case is at one end of the spectrum and fairly easy to describe, there are others less easy to describe and perhaps even more common spread. Do we have... even in Australia, instances of forced work. For instance, I think a parliamentary committee was told recently about workers who came in on a temporary visa to do some work, I think in Queensland canefields or somewhere, and never got paid. Well, is that a form of slavery?
Look, it is very interesting, these cases we hear, isn't it? What we do see is in Western Australia, for example, there have been cases where the police have uncovered groups of, you know, sometimes 200 plus men and women working as tomato pickers in a facility in Caraboota, north of Perth, and they were living in horrendous situations with raw sewage flooding the premises, you know, one bathroom between dozens and dozens of people, no passports, issues of being subjected to violence and not paid. That particular case was not treated as a forced labour or a slavery case by the Australian authorities. So as a result, the people involved were deported fairly quickly.
Yeah.
The criminals involved were prosecuted, but they were prosecuted for money laundering and for weapons offences because there were weapons found on the property. We do wonder if the police had looked more at it from a forced labour case, if perhaps it would have been treated as a forced labour prosecution.
So often we've got different agencies. It might be immigration officers, it might be the police looking at illegal brothels, for instance, walking into a situation under one set of laws, but really it's a slavery issue. And is that the reason that you're suggesting that there needs to be a slavery act in Australia?
One of the critical issues is victim identification. If, for example, a woman presents to the police and she's seeking help to get out of a family house, then, you know, one way to look at that might be domestic violence.
Yeah.
But if you dig a little deeper and you realise that she's actually asking to get her passport back, the family are saying, you know, she's here illegally and so on and so forth. With the right training and the right information, then the police would probably look at that from a forced labour or a human trafficking perspective.
Yes.
So really we need people on the front lines to have more training on these issues because these cases do present in very, very different ways. Cases can be picked up through immigration raids or people being in immigration detention, of course, which is a very traumatic place to be and not really somewhere where people are likely to trust the authorities and open up a lot.
Mm.
So we really do need to create the conditions that allow people to seek help and to tell what are sometimes very difficult stories.
Well, your foundation is, though, pressing for a modern Australian Slavery Act. What would that achieve?
Australia has some really great criminal laws. So we already have the right laws in place to prosecute people. But as we all know, making something criminal can only ever be one part of a response to such a serious issue as something like modern slavery. So what we need to see is everybody in the community doing their bit on this issue. To date, police are very involved, immigration is very involved. We want to see a situation where we can bring business, companies, people who are buying and selling things, really bring the power of business to this issue. Two reasons. First of all, business is buying and selling a lot of products that are made overseas in the countries where we know there's a very high risk of forced labour and slavery. So we want companies to be looking at what are they buying? What's the labour standards involved in what they're buying? Are the people they're buying from actually being paid properly? So it's really a new form of due diligence that we're asking of companies.
Would you go so far as to say that Australian companies are turning a blind eye to slavery?
At the moment, some of Australia's leading companies are actively looking into this issue because of something called the UK Modern Slavery Act.
Mm.
So that is requiring large companies with a turnover of more than £36 million to report on their efforts to identify modern slavery in their supply chain.
Oh, so that's the pattern you'd like to see repeated in the Australian Parliament?
Exactly. That's the model that we see having an impact on corporate behaviour, and that's giving us a new tool, if you like, in this fight against this very, very old hidden crime.
Well, it's always good to have new tools, but of course the sharpest tool in that pack is consumer confidence. if consumers are demanding of businesses that they engage in fair trade practices or make sure that they're employing ethical workers in factories overseas, that'll be the most powerful, won't it?
I think consumers absolutely should be demanding that they're not, that if they're spending their money, for example, whether it's on chocolate over the Easter period or whether it's clothing that they're buying that they notice is made in a particular country, consumers need to be able to be assured by the companies they're buying from that they're buying something that's clean and fair.
And Fiona David, where do we go for that information?
There are, you really have to be quite an active consumer to find that information. For information on different chocolate, an organisation called Stop the Traffic, they have information that looks at the different ethical standards of different chocolate brands. There's also another organisation called Know the Chain. They have done ratings on different clothing manufacturers and their level of ethics in their practices. But again, what we really want to see is government and business making it easier for people to make an informed choice. We think if that government requires businesses to do this homework, to do this looking and finding of modern slavery in their supply chains, then that will help consumers have more information about where the problems are, who's being responsible, who's trying to make a difference, and that'll allow us to, you know, spend our dollars more fairly.
There are some very positive signs. You've managed to get on board both the International Labour Organization, or obviously the Australian Council of Trade Unions is our local representative of the ILO, but also the Business Council of Australia. And in the last week or two, both have worked closely with your foundation on this very issue.
Look, I think it speaks to the fact that nobody supports slavery. You know, no business leader wants to see slavery or wants to see it in their supply chain.
Is that actually true, I wonder?
I think, unfortunately, there's always going to be a very small percentage of people in the world who are looking to make fast money, or who are criminally, motivated and perhaps willing to take advantage of other people. But I think overall, you know, most business, I would say the overwhelming majority of business leaders, they want to run their companies and, you know, make a fair profit. You know, we all have families. We all understand what it's like. I think once business leaders learn about this issue and they realise that this is actually something that's going on and affecting their business operations, they're very, very concerned about it and they're very clear that they want to do something about it.
Well, I'm sure that's true, but there is don't ask, don't tell. Isn't it the case that for decades, for a very long time, business practices, and I'm thinking maybe of mines and deforestation and any number of things, driving the degradation of our people and our environment and our world, bad stewardship of the planet, if you like, unless it's subjected to the gaze of sunlight, then it seems to me that it remains hidden and nothing is done.
Look, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, and that's really the key point that we think makes the case for us following the UK's lead with something like a Modern Slavery Act. At the moment, people who want to do the right thing, they can already do the right thing. If you're a responsible company and you want to look into the labour practices that sit behind what you're buying, you can already do that. Those responsible companies are not the problem. The people who are the problem, the organisations are the problem, are the ones who are willfully blind and who choose to do nothing. And by introducing a reporting obligation for companies, we think that'll create a more level playing field, where, as you say, we're shining a light on not just what the good companies are doing, but what all the companies are doing. And you know, we've seen that with environmental practices,
yes,
or with corruption and bribery. If we can set a standard and
change a culture,
absolutely. You've got to change the culture and the thinking about what's acceptable. Then we think we've got a chance of making some real change.
Wow. Well, the great news is you've made a great start and Australia is actually leading the way and you're one of the leading voices in the global debate. So, gosh, thank you for being there. Thank you for doing what you do and thank you for joining us on Open House.
It's an absolute pleasure, Stephen. Thank you so much for your interest in this issue.